This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm still processing the fact that in this, the year 2022, I talked about Kevin Federline in therapy.
I'm Brandy Posey, and if the Tupperware is plastic, honey, you're having a garage sale, not an estate sale.
I'm Tess Barker, and huge life upgrade, I got a new candle.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Woo-hoo. Woo! Welcome to the show, y'all. Y'all come on down now for you Lady here? To Lady. You hear?
Hey, Yins.
Can we get into square dancing?
Sure. I remember doing it. Did you guys have to do it in gym in elementary school?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think I liked it.
Yeah. I had a real hard time remembering my left from my right, so I found it very stressful. I think I would do better now.
Yeah, you'd probably be
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, rapid fire left and right.
Yeah,
I don't know what the difference is between like line dancing and square dancing. Is it just one's a square and one's a line?
Oh, there's a big, yeah. Square dancing is a lot of like, you're in a couple and it's a lot of like circling around each other and waltzing. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Line dancing, I feel like we did quite a bit of as children too.
I definitely was, square dance was definitely it. And then obviously the swing dancing phenomenon that swept through.
Swept through. Did you ever get good at it?
No. All the Mormon kids would be in the cafeteria at lunch.
Yeah, Salt Lake. I could imagine.
Hanging each other in the air.
The Mormons took to square dancing like a fly on shit.
Swing dancing.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh,
and also,
square.
Also probably square. Yeah, but swing dancing, they were all so good at it.
Yeah, it was thrilling. Mm-hmm. They were just like, we can't have penetrative sex, so we will fling each other in the air.
I always was so in awe of that move where it's sex adjacent, and like the man has his legs spread and then he flings the girl like through his legs.
Yeah, oh mm-hmm. yeah. That was hot.
Yeah.
Getting a little close to that Mormon taint under
I feel like the swing kids, at least at my school, really close overlap with the ska kids, though, right, Brandy?
Yeah, they were close because, like, the swing bands at the time, we just were like, fuck it, we'll take horns. Like, we
that was like ska, yeah.
Like, we weren't doing. I think like the swing is where ska kids and theater kids kind of crossed.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of was the middle of our Venn diagram a little bit, and we were like, yeah, all right, that's fine, we can deal with it.
Yeah, like, I could see that.
Yeah, like I've been to a Cherry Pop and Daddy show.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a paper in my history class in 10th grade about Zoot Suit Riot because it's based on a historical riot that happened in downtown LA.
Oh my God. Oh. That's like, I would also insert my interests as much as I could into like school assignments.
It's the only way to keep it interesting. Yeah.
Got an A, baby. I've known how to bullshit for a very, very long time.
We should say we have our next Sun Night Fun Night is on October 2nd, so Halloween edition. Bring your pets in their costumes if you want, or yourself, whatever.
Yes,
Skelly,
please.
We'll see what Skelly's up to.
Yep.
So come hang out with us. You can buy tickets on ladysunday.eventbrite.com. That's the words.
Yeah. And if you're a patron, you get 30% off all tickets. So feel free to sign up at patreon.com/ladytolady. We got all sorts of fun things over there, including that discount on tickets.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm so excited for our guest today. She's just so sweet, so fun, so great. She's got a new venue in Santa Monica called The Crow, which is this awesome independent video. I'm sorry, awesome independent venue. My brain. She's got a stand-up special called Life's a Bit. That's on Amazon. You've seen her on NBC's The Today Show. And she's done SF Sketch Fest and all kinds of stuff. And we just love her. Nicole Blaine.
Very excited to chat and hang out with our guest today. Nicole, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so good.
Congratulations good. On having a plant flourishing behind you.
Yeah.
Guys, here's the thing. It's a money plant and it's been at my house. No joke. It's been at my house for about 4 years and it died every day for the last 4 years. I brought it to my beautiful new club, The Crow, and I'm not even kidding. It fucking bloomed.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Hell yeah.
If that's a sign of I've made it, I think that I win.
100%.
That rules. Yeah.
Now, what is a sign when it just slowly dies inside your house? What is the opposite sign? Because that's what happened to mine.
I think that means rent stabilization. I think that's what that means.
Okay, rent control is staying.
Rent control, you're not going to pay a lot more money, but you're going to slowly just lose your money over time and not gain equity.
That sounds right. Okay. Yeah, tell us about, Nicole runs this amazing club called The Crow, which is in Santa Monica in this cool like art colony. Mm-hmm. And I did it for the first time the other day. It's so cute. And like, I was just like so excited to have a female run club. You know, it's so awesome. So yeah, tell us like the process of finding it, just all that stuff.
I'm tough. I don't recommend it. It's so hard, you guys.
I'd imagine. I mean,
I can't. Yeah.
That's a lot.
When did you get the idea? Because how long have you been open? And like, did you get the idea during the pandemic, or like, what was the kind of like timeline?
The weird thing is I married my high school crush. I was totally obsessed with him.
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh,
congratulations.
Wow.
What an inspiration.
Here's the fun thing. He was like super hot and super popular. And he was a senior. I was a freshman. I had not hit puberty. I was not attractive. I was never going to get him. So I went for his best friend who was like a total loser. And that, that stable.
He got in the door that way.
I did. Then for all 4 years I was with that jerkwad, I was like slowly becoming friends with like the hot guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But then started dating my freshman year in college. I'd broken up with the icky guy. I was with this guy. But anyways, I met Mickey in my high school theater department. We were total theater nerds. Mm-hmm. And so we both kind of knew that like anything and everything we ever wanted to do was going to be in the field of entertainment. He was more of like the writer director side and I wanted to be the actor. So then we went to college together and he was like, look, we just have to make our own stuff.
Like, that's the answer
the
always.
Okay, we're going to get anything. He was like, so I'll write and I'll direct and to be the lead, since you're sleeping with me, you produce, you do that end of the work.
Great. Good deal.
So it was perfect. So we used to rehearse in our dorms and cast all of our college friends. And we did it throughout, the college world. We were over at LMU over here locally.
Wait, I went to LMU too.
Oh, but you're so much younger than me. You were there recently?
No. Well, okay. Not recently. Anyway, go Lions.
Whatever.
Go Lions. There's a lot of American spirits outside St. Rob's.
Were you in a sorority?
No, but like everyone there was. I actually came from an art school where everyone was like bisexual, purple hair, nose ring. And then I went to LMU and it was like, I'm talking Ugg City.
Yeah.
Everyone on diet pills.
Purple hair, bisexual nose ring. That's great.
I didn't fit in at LMU. I was also their only rebel atheist Jew in this very Catholic Jesuit university. Mm.
That's what I was wondering. It's a Catholic university, right?
Yeah, it's Jesuit. Yeah, but like it's like cool Jesuit. Like
Jesuits are their own thing, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, like I took. You have to take two religion classes, but one that I took was taught by a Jewish guy who was like, "Yeah, so the Bible's pretty much made up."
Yeah. You are forced to take religion classes. So I remember taking intro to religious studies and my professor was from India and he literally in the middle of the class, he turned to me and was like, you look Jewish. And I was like, whoa. And he was like, I think that it'd be best if you taught Judaism. And I was like, definitely have no idea. Like,
what do you- I was like, don't ask me to do the, any of that shit. I won't know.
And you're also like, this school's expensive. I'm going to actually sit here. Yeah.
I was like, my Bay City's Jewish Community Center for 5 years after school is probably not like I can run a Shabbat. Like, that's about it.
Right. Right.
No joke. I ended up teaching an hour and a half course that year for
him. Wow.
Wow.
This is a very separate story. But anyways, we were realizing at that point that the only way to get where you want to go is to do stuff yourself. So flash forward. We graduated finally and then started putting up plays like in really dingy theaters that were falling apart in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We started one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And we just kept doing that and then like started making indie films by ourselves and web series before web series were big. And it was right around probably when I had had my daughter and she's 14 now. And that, so about 15 years ago, both of us were like, hey, at some point we should run our own theater or, and at that, I didn't know I was going to end up being a stand-up. So when you're like, how did this start? I will be honest. It was a strong 15 years ago when I was like, one day I want to run a place that has a bit of a bigger impact than just me being a performer and him writing a play. Like, I feel like there's more breath to making a community where then you involve others so that their art gets folded in and you have a bigger workspace in the community.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that was the idea. And then I had a baby and all the time gets sucked out of the window. It was insane. But I feel like I got back into really performing. I mean, I performed with her inside of me.
I performed with her. I was like, oh, cool. And you're like inside of me.
I mean, as is the rite of passage of a pregnant female comedian.
A comedian.
And that was when I was doing like one person shows and improv and like whatever. And then with my son, when I was pregnant with him, which was 3 years later, that was when I was like, I think the one person shows and making people cry half the time was out of my league. It was, I'm not that good. So let's just focus on the comedy, which turns out is way harder. I was
like, I was going to say,
what a dumb idea. But I started stand up when he was inside of me and have been doing it ever since. And then it was during the pandemic. Long answer. Sorry. Short.
No, no.
Short or long.
Detailed. Not long. We appreciate it.
I don't know about you guys, but my pandemic put me into a depression. You guys? Anyone? Mm-hmm.
It was like all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
kind of enjoyed quite a bit of it.
I think it was helpful to like have be able to take a step back and like reevaluate things, but it was also very difficult.
We were balls deep in like Britney Spears.
Yeah, they were both working the entire time.
Yeah, it was a really weird pandemic because it was like there was another surreal thing going on at the same time.
right.
Well, and I think that if you're doing what you're passionate about and then the space worked, you're not going to slump into the depression. Like for me, I had gotten the biggest opportunity of my life to go on tour with like a huge company and I was going to be doing a theater tour. And all of a sudden I thought my life changed as a stand-up. So then that got shut down. That was supposed to happen in 2020. So like I thought I was getting my big break. Yeah. So I was 100% devastated. And then I was working from home sort of like I work in the healthcare field for the last 21 years. Mm-hmm. And
which was frustrating. Yeah, that's.
Then I became a frontline worker.
Jesus. Okay.
So my pandemic experience was in the nursing world and getting vaccines out and being, I was working with UCLA as one of the first people to like do. So I was 24/7.
I mean, you were in it.
Jesus, yeah. Nicole. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So that was intense. And then I had my children at home doing online schooling and my husband, who's a high school theater teacher, also online doing teaching. And I watched my beautiful children slump into severe depressions too.
Right.
Friends, we couldn't see friends. I couldn't perform. And I literally like couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't change the cat litter, which is my one job. Like that was it.
Yeah.
So my mother, who I had seen, I don't know if you read the little story that came out. I was very honored to be in the LA Times 2 weeks ago, which was
I need to read it.
A big piece about all the female book or lady bookers in LA. Yeah.
Well, that, there,
oh, and you got something else.
I did. Oh, I got a whole featured story just on The Crow, and it was crazy. Nice. But it revealed in the story a little bit about what happened. My mother, one of the reasons I went to LMU was because I was originally at UC Davis. My mom had a nervous breakdown, and her and my stepdad became crack addicts.
Oh, oh
wow.
Damn.
No story. Wonder you're a comedian.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Ding, ding. There it is.
100%. Yeah. And so when the LA Times came out and did this huge, like, multiple hour interview, they were like, well, why did you become a comedian? I'm like, to get through the pain of my mother being a crack addict, like, to be completely honest, like, finding the funny, the trauma. And that's always what my husband and I have done with our work and whatever. So as I slipped, and by the way, my mother's recovered. It's amazing. And so she's completely.
That's amazing.
Thank you. To her. Yeah. So through this pandemic, as I had been the one who kind of nursed her out of her toughest time, and she saw me slipping into a hole, strangely similar around the same age, because she was her young 40s, I'm my young 40s. Mm-hmm. And she turned to me and she went, it's your turn. I'm going to get you. I'm going to help you through this.
Aww.
She's like, remember that idea you had 15 years ago where you and Mickey said you would make your own space? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you want to do it? You want to get out of the medical?
Aww.
Like, let's let me find a way. And it was like, she just gave me permission. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so much of it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need someone to say, like, I believe in you. You can do that. And I was like, I don't, how would I start a business? I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And both my husband and her turned to me and they were like, I mean, you've been producing.
Right.
Like for 20 years now. Like, why not do it? On your own.
I think we forget. I forget all the time. Like, oh, I've been preparing for all of this my entire life, basically.
Totally.
You, it's so easy to like forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. The number of jobs that we wear when you are, especially like your own business as like a performer yourself, you're a travel coordinator, you're a fucking producer. You have to like be in charge of your own finances. You're a writer. You're, you know, you're directing yourself. You're a chauffeur to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have children, so I know what it's like dealing with, you know, comics.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Teenage children. Yes, absolutely.
I can do it. So thank God I have a brainiac husband. Like he could have been a lawyer. And so the legality of getting a new space is really hard. That's the other thing. Like, I feel like I don't, and I don't know if you guys know the comic Anique Adele, but Anique is an amazing lawyer. And she was also like, hey, I'll go ahead and read over all that stuff for you. So getting people also in the comedy community, like same thing with Tony Klein. When I started building the space, he was like, you know, I'm also a carpenter. Like I will help. And my husband is, you know, a builder. So he built the stage, but Tony was like, I'll come and hang things. They like made a door and a wall. And so it brought also, you know, you're right. Not only can we do it, we know people who want to help and enjoy jumping in. So like, this isn't something I did by myself. This is all of the incredible people who have come together and said, yes, and wanted, even you, Babs, by saying, oh my God, yeah, I'll do your show. You're taking a risk, you know, on like coming to a new place and then saying, oh, now come on, yeah, great. Now do this on this podcast. Like all of this is the beauty of helping each other and growing so that other people continue to get what they want.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what you asked me at all, but
no, but it's true. And I think also like just hearing that story reminds me of like, I feel like a lot of times we can think like, oh, other people know how to do that, but not me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there must be something magic about that other person. They opened a business, but that's for that kind of person and not me. And it's like, no, that person also didn't know what they were doing. Like everyone has to learn how to do everything. Yes. Nobody else has some like special magic key that teaches
right you
them
assume
how to do that
like they had you know someone who was just figuring it all out for them and it's like no they did it
just Google in a dream baby that's all
and it's interesting because like everyone's like you have a business plan and I'm like by the way what's a business plan I think it's like a vision board
survive
yeah
it's a single spaced vision board
it's a series bible for your business
Yeah. More of like, I hope this works. It's me crossing my fingers. And but like, what's the business plan? I'm like, I mean, we're gonna sell tickets. I'm gonna do shows. I'm going to start an entire education arm. Like, and I hope that works, you know, because I do think people will like, especially like I teach kids, my husband teaches kids. Let's teach little kids comedy. And that's a niche. But I do think that like that you can get more money from than ticket sales. You know, so as trying to figure out your business, you know what I mean? Yeah, you have to get creative, you know, so I don't know. But then again, everyone's like, is it going to work? I'm like, I have no idea. I really hope so.
Yeah. And who knows if this batch of brownies you're making is going to work? Like, who fucking knows?
Every word you say on stage, you said, like,
you made all the chairs yourself. You did it all by hand. Like, that is amazing. Yeah.
It's a real, it's your third. How does your son feel about being the middle child now?
That's so funny. He hates it. But he also, what's cute is like, I do feel like I'm breeding those obnoxious theater babies, you know, where they're like.
Yeah, they get shit done. I mean, yes, of course, theater kids are obnoxious forever, but as. Yeah. A theater kid, I now combine my knowing how to be around other people with my theater kidness. And so mostly I can tamp it down.
Yeah. You know? Until I'm with another theater kid, then it's like, oh my God, I can't. Let's analyze the Sweeney Todd libretto. What is your kid's favorite musical? Are they into musicals yet?
They are very into musicals. Let's see. I would say we took them to see Beetlejuice on Broadway before the pandemic.
Oh, my God. I need to see that.
Oh, my God. Sophia Ann Caruso was amazing. And what's his face? Alex, whatever his name. He's amazing. Anyways, they both really loved Beetlejuice. They like the dark, creepy, you know, like stuff.
Sweeney Todd and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like Pippin, they love Pippin because my husband teaches. They go to like every play he's ever done, so they know all the Shakespeare. They know all the like they did dog fight.
How cute!
No, they probably see more than me.
Yeah, they're totally it's great. I love it.
I do. I will have to say, Nicole, I have to give you shit for one thing. Uh-oh. This is just a funny thing, so don't worry. You were like, you know, you had amazing snacks in the green room, which always appreciated.
Yeah.
And like a good layout of like Mediterranean, like a little, you know, snack tray. And so there was crackers and there was a little like thing of what I thought was like white bean dip, perhaps.
Butter.
And I went in and it was butter. I went in big dip. It was butter. Because there was cornbread and it wasn't, and I got confused. And I was just like, oh, I have to give her shit for this because I just ate an entire spoonful of butter.
My bone to pick is this green room sounds a little bit too stocked for me to want to perform anywhere else in the city because I don't think I've seen snacks in a green room in quite a minute.
A Mediterranean plate. That's
right. Wow.
It's actually, and I you'll like it even more. So I have a restaurant that I share a walkway with, Birdie G's. Mm-hmm. And it's super fancy with a very famous chef, Chef Jeremy Cox. He is Southern and Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so he's combined those comfort foods in a gourmet thing. So it was actually matzah.
That was
matzah, but not like the kind we had in our homes, Babs. Like we've received.
I'm not Jewish. I'm not actually. I know.
I was like, okay, is Babs going to say anything or just get the cred?
I have a great hair. And like, we all have someone named Babs in our family.
Well, and I worked at like a JCC, so I'm more familiar, I think, with a lot of things, like Shabbat and things like that than, you know, a lot of people. Right. So anyway.
I had a Jewish therapist one time tell me I'd make a great Jew. And I took it as the highest compliment I've ever gotten in my life. So
There you go. Anyway, so yeah, it's actually a Jewish little platter, but it's very fancy.
Oh, okay.
I'm in this fancy restaurant next door, and I have a deal with them where they do a spread for my green room.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's sweet.
It's lovely.
I love that.
God, I just love a spread. Yes. Is there anything better than a spread?
Yeah, there really isn't. Not really. Yeah, when I think about like what kind of food I want in my wedding or something. Oh my God, sorry. I just got a glimpse of my cat. Like, He's having his best life right now. Okay. He's just, he is having the best nap you've ever seen in your life at this moment. Anyway, a shark, giant charcuterie board. Like, that's all I want for so my whole life. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Good. I'm going to trap comics to come work here.
Yeah. Great call. Yeah. You really need to plead with them for fucking stage time, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's so plentiful in the city and in such high quality. So.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a second.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm not Jewish. Okay. let's play a game. We're just gonna ask you some silly questions. There's no right or wrong answers. It's called That's So Random, which means you get to hear a great theme song.
Hell yeah.
Abe Lincoln's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh my god.
I didn't make it up.
Oh my god. I can't. It's just like, I mean, that's so random.
So random.
That's so random.
No, I'm raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
Thank God.
Random.
Great. Please request that next time you go to a rave.
Mm-hmm. one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to, TruAnon, they just released their theme song on vinyl. And ooh, I was thinking, I think it would be really fun if we did put out vinyl with all of our theme songs.
Yeah. Wait, that was you, right?
That was us.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe it wasn't. It wasn't professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Masterful. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Nicole.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Who knows the most secrets about you?
Oh, my husband.
Yeah,
sorry.
I would be like, if that wasn't the answer, I'd be concerned.
Yeah, that answer really.
It's been 26. Yeah,
26 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Wow.
So? Any advice at the other end of 26 years? I've been married for almost 4.
Aw, how's it going?
Good. We still like each other.
Yeah. I feel like I remember listening to some sort of really great KCRW couple that was like together for 50 years and something like that. And they were like, oh, but you know, they say most people have 3 or 4 different lovers in their life, but you've been with him your whole life. How does that make you feel? And she said, I feel like even though I've been with him completely the whole time, I have had those 3 or 4 lovers. And I will
say that makes sense. Yeah.
I think our romantic life has had such a profound change every 5 to 10 years. And the way that we can match on that level and grow comfortably and shift has made me feel like I've had sort of all the different unique, vulnerable sex experiences, which is strange, but it's weird when it gets pretty, raunchy, and then we turn around and have to co-parent.
Yeah,
like, right. Must be weird.
The gear is weird. Like, I feel like the next morning when he's cooking breakfast, I'm like, remember what you did to me last night? And like, it's just. But I think that's what makes a good marriage, in my opinion.
Okay, so invest in a wig collection is what you're saying.
Wig collection definitely get weird. I know. I don't understand people. Like, I think like sex, like you have to still have regular sex. And I also think that those like tropes about married people like having a boring sex life are totally just based on unhappy marriages.
Yeah, that's on them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it runs the gamut. I think that there are people who end up, you know, their sex is different for everybody. So I don't think it necessarily means that you're not like happy if you're not having it. But
people's libidos
are really different. It's been interesting being in like, you know, my first long-term relationship, and we're past 3 years now. And yeah, even just seeing that, like the different way, you know, what it's gone, where we are now versus where we are even just a year ago, and and getting into it deeper and knowing him on a different level and how that affects everything. Yeah, our sexual relationship and everything else. So I can definitely see what you're saying about how it's like, oh, I feel like I've had those three or four different people because of just how we've evolved.
And you evolve with fighting, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, so right. I'll do that. That doesn't work for me. That's a trigger. And then, like, I'm going to respect that trigger.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it evolves also in that. And, like, we all have different jobs. Like, I also realize, like, he's, like, always insecure about calling people on a phone. He doesn't want to talk. Mm. I have to be the front man, you know? Mm. And, like, sometimes that annoys me that he won't go up to a, you know, hostess and be like, excuse me, we've been waiting 30 minutes for a table. Like, he's not going to be that guy. I don't have that man, which is gross and, you know, gendering all that anyway. Like, I have to take that on. But, like, part of me is like, yeah, but, like, he's the one who does all the legal schmeagle stuff. And I don't. Like,
yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. I think, like, yeah, when I was younger, I had these binary, like, this is how I want him to do this or whatever it is. And then when you get into the reality of it, it's like, yeah, you share different strengths.
Share your strengths. Yeah. Share your weaknesses. And, like, compliment the other person's. Don't hold it against them. Be like, all right, well, that's different for me, so I'll do it.
And, like, they're always going to do stuff that's kind of gross. And it's like,
That's just gonna happen. I've also found there's a lot of qualities that, like, I thought I wanted in a partner, but what actually is I wanted them to be more amplified in me, and it would not work if two people in the relationship had that quality. You know what I mean?
Right.
That, and that's been, like, an interesting learning to be like, oh, okay. Oh, that was about me. Not about, like, but you're not trained to think that, like, you could have that as, like, a young little girl in the 90s or whatever. And then it's like, actually, I was developing who I wanted the person to be, not just, like, to live with that person.
What specifics are you referring to? I'm curious.
I mean, just, like, I'm thinking mostly about, like, just performing and kind of just, like, being a boss in my own way. It's like, growing up, I was always like, I would like to be married to a musician so they would just be gone half the time. I just like being alone. And I very much, like, became the person that is gone all the time. And, like, I like the tour lifestyle, and I don't mind. I don't really care if my partner does or not, you know? So, like, being the one that is on the road and doing all that shit that I always, like, fantasized having a partner that would do all of that. And, like, I would live vicariously through. It's like, oh no, that's what I wanted.
So and what cool. I do. That's so empowering. In your home life as a child, did you see any of that modeled? Was that in your...
No. Very, very, very traditional parents. My mom was, like, a homemaker. My dad, like, is a CPA that built his own business for himself. Although I will say he's a CPA. He was gone for 4 months of the year doing taxes, basically. Tax season, I just, like, didn't... I felt like I didn't have parents for 4 months out of the year. Is that why I'm a comedian? Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's do our next question. Oh, if you had to get a tattoo today, what would you get?
Well, because I've been thinking about what's my next tattoo. And I want it to reflect, like, the kids or the family as a whole. And years ago, we took a family portrait of all of us in sad clown face makeup. So it looks like the proper, like, four person family, but all of us have sad.
Did you guys go to, like, JCPenney?
Well, no, I hired, like, a fabulous photographer. But that it would look reminiscent, but actually good. I have done that before too. I have done photo shoots with the kids at JCPenney.
Have one.
But the sad clown. So, but both the kids were really small, and I had it, you know, like, huge on a canvas in the family room, and it really disturbed my son. Like, he was like,
I'm bringing girls over, mom. Come on.
Yeah. And I loved that I was, like, torturing him with his own face. Like, there was something hilarious about how my children were scared of their own clown reflections. And it stayed up. And now I feel like I've put little, just being in the crow, like, I have little tiny, I found a clown thing that my grandfather gave me. And I really, he's one of the only family members I like. And then another comic came and was like, oh, you collect these little clowns? And I was like, and now I'm starting to realize, like, maybe that's something, like, cute little clowns.
Oh, that would be a cute tattoo. I like little, like, dainty, small tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
So how many do you currently have?
I just finally did the one big one. It's this huge arm.
Oh, that's pretty.
And it is
dope.
It was it's very, you can't see it, but it was the crow trees, because that was sort of, it's why we named the crow, which I don't want to feel like I got a tattoo of this place. It was before 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all comes full circle. There you go.
Do you put out any shiny things for crows on the west side to come and like nest at your club? Or like, are you offering things to crows outside?
I should. Well, what are they attracted to? Now I will.
I mean, they like lots of like little like snack,
like snackies. Tinsel.
Yeah, tinsel, and, like little beads. Yeah. Like you could like put like some, I think they eat nuts and stuff. Yeah.
I feel like the tinsel and the beads may murder them, so that.
They're smart though, man. A crow is smart as hell.
That's true. Now I'm going to figure out a way to have the whole place covered in real crows.
Yeah, yes. Just bird shit all over the place. That'll be good.
Hold on. I'm looking it up real quick. They love snakes. This is a bad list.
Right? Everyone bring a snake. Oh, next
beetles.
Time you go.
Beetles. Maybe just put a pile of beetles outside of your place.
That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, they love like little fruits, berries. They love berries. Berries and grains. You could put those outside if you wanted to.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to report back.
Okay. Next random question. What is your favorite topic to talk about?
I feel like I'm obsessed with this business right now. And I think I've always loved talking comedy. Like, don't you guys always love talking shop with comics?
Yeah.
Like that's always been the process of like joke writing. I can get really nerded out on that. But I also think I really love anything my daughter's into. Like she's 14. And I think that the high school kids, these Gen Zers, they have a lot to say.
Yeah.
So like, I'm super into like her mind. So it'd probably be like comedy or whatever is happening in my daughter's brain.
That's so sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was talking to the stylist that isn't my hairstylist, but works at the same salon. Her daughter is a teenager too. And she was like, yeah, it's so weird because of TikTok, teenagers are like politically minded. Like they know, like we all had our thumbs up our actual buttholes. Like we had, I was vaguely aware that something was going on with the president getting a blowjob. Like I did not have a fuck to give because like, what was I going to watch the news?
No, we weren't politicized.
No.
And so that's here's the thing. And this is why I'm so passionate about these kids, and being a mom right now is so fucking rad, because as they were on lockdown for 18 months and they watched the Trump era combined with the BLM movement, mm-hmm. And TikTok and all of the pronouns that were then, and all these amazing strides we were taking, you know, sexually and this revolution that's going on, she taught me everything.
Yeah.
And like, it was because of TikTok. They have completely been able to communicate. Her feed is so beautifully young and liberal. So yeah, they're politicized. They live through something. They get swabbed every, you know, Monday before they go into school. Like,
crazy.
It's going to be amazing to see how these kids, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, which is why I wanted to teach and have high school programming, like mm-hmm. at the world. Like mm-hmm. this, you have to now get these kids prepared and mobilized to 10 years from now, be able to command the stage and take all that they've been through and do a comedic joke. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. do they need to do it on stage though? Because they do have TikTok. So.
True.
But true. You're right. They may not. But like, even
no, I'm just that's just me feeling bad about
us
being old school comics. So
could your daughter run my phone for a day or two and fix my algorithm? Because I feel like it keeps showing me just like people pulling crystals out of rice, and I don't know what the fuck that's about.
Really? That's your current algorithm?
It's really
always
weird
when it's like, you're like,
what the hell it is? Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's the big rock tumbler, and they just like pull, like, look what we found. And I'm like, I don't know why. And then millions of people watch it, and I don't know why.
about it. Yes, I'll have her take your phone and reset it for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I would appreciate that.
Mine is just like exclusively women I would never want to hang out with reorganizing their homes.
Mine is, and like I see where it's coming from, but mine is all running stuff and dog rescue stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
See, that's good. That makes sense. My Instagram it does it. It's kind of.
I don't know. I wouldn't wish an all dog rescue feed on actually anyone.
No, yeah, that's too rough. Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
You already work at a rescue too.
It's I know.
Well, mine's all cat videos. That's my big sucker, and also now all DIY stuff because we had to build all the seats and all the walls and all the whatever. Like now at this point, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. How to fix anything.
Isn't that kind of weird how different all of our algorithms are though? And like, we're all kind of in the same ish demographic. Like we're all female comics, probably liberal leaning, living in LA and all of us have different algorithms.
Yeah. In our, in the computer cloud, our little interests are put into all these different bins.
Yeah.
And whoever's trying to make money off of us is shoving, shoveling these things into our face.
Cool. Good time.
Okay. Nicole, where is your happy place?
I think right now it's here.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I feel like it's the other, it's combining this passion, this doing the crow and everything. But like, I also think it's my kids seeing me be happy finally.
Oh yeah,
that's huge.
Oh,
that's very
so
huge.
Sweet.
Mm. Yeah, we were it was interesting. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, because I asked it to my kids and the husband. We were on a little camping trip a few weeks ago and I was like, okay, let's say you have the perfect dream family life. Okay. However, that is in your head, whatever your, like your nuclear family, the parents and the children, if there's children or whatever it is, whatever your, whatever. Maybe I'm ruining this. What role would you like to play in it? Would you like to be living the life of the child or would you like to be the parent? Or if you had the perfect nuclear family, which end would you rather be on?
Oh, I don't know.
Would you rather childhood to have that perfect experience or your adulthood to have the perfect experience of the nuclear family that you love?
Adult.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I guess adult. I mean, I mean, it's hard to not think like, oh, I'd like to relive some of my childhood just because I have a bad memory, and so some of it I would like to, you know, recall again. But all I can think of is adulthood, because if you're saying, like, then you get to live the perfect experience, well, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I think maybe childhood, because, it, like, you're home more as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more central to your existence, whereas like as an adult you have your whole work sphere and like that outside world. I mean, I was a child actor, so I didn't have a normal childhood. So yeah, I think it would be, I would like to do like a control test and see like how that one would end up.
Yeah
you get to do like alternate universe.
Yeah,
like a choose like choose your own adventure, hold your thumb in the back and then go down that path and see if you want to go back, which one you want to go back to.
Yeah.
Randy, I feel like you're still thinking. Where are you at?
Well, I'm just having a hard time like wrapping my head around being currently in a nuclear situation. Like I mean, because
none of us have kids and maybe is, you know, I think out of all of us, I'm the only one who might have kids or has thought about it more. Mm-hmm. So it's like a different question for us because we're all, might not involve the kids necessarily.
Yeah.
And I don't need to make it do that because it could be however you define.
Of course.
Adult favorite space, your adult favorite dream family. It doesn't have to be with kids, so that's just the debate. Would you rather live your peak family life as a child or your peak family life as an adult?
Like your peak domestic life, your peak home.
Yeah.
I think I still think as an adult, because like, I think the hardships I went through as a kid, I like the person I am quite a bit. And I don't know that I would be that if I hadn't like gone through quite a bit of that. I think it makes me appreciate what I've been able to build for myself more now too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah. A lot of people that I know that like did have very idyllic lives that like were not challenged for a long time are having a harder time coping, I think.
Yeah.
Than otherwise too. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird.
being the gift of having to rely on yourself, I think, at some point, I think is like an important thing at some point to get. You want to be supported, but also there needs to be a moment where like you can only bet on yourself. And I think like if that happens young, you learn to do it more and more as you get older.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I don't know. I never had to only bet on myself. That was never.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think a thing. So.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still, you know.
Yeah.
Straw. Like, I feel like I'm very self-motivated.
Yeah, I think there's ways you can develop strength without having, like, serious abandonment.
Trauma.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the experiment, I'm very curious by it because both my husband and I had similar traumatic childhood upbringings, which is why I think we were compatible in, you know, the first place.
Yeah.
I had wanted to find someone that was like, you know, from a wonderfully like high level family that was all together. But I probably would not be, you know, they'd be like such idiots to me. But now I'm like, what's it going to be like for my, like, so I asked this to my children and my husband when we're on this camping trip, you know, cause I was like, I think they might, knock on wood, like we've had problems and whatever, but like, I think that they're living a pretty fucking charmed life as of,
yeah.
You know, like their parents are madly in love. Like we're not right now destitute. Like, thank God. I don't know if there's any health issues. Like no one's smoking crack. Like no one's whittling someone under the sheets. Like they're fine, you know? But I said to him, I was like, what would you rather? Would you rather have, you know, this perfect childhood now where you sit back and get to experience it? Or would you rather struggle and then have the perfect life as the adult? And it was funny because each one of us answered in the role that we currently are, like both my husband,
right.
So wonderful creating the dream life that we wanted and now having it as adults and now giving it to these kids and kind of architecturally creating, you know, and that ends up being a lot of what I feel like right now post pandemic and everything that I want is like, I guess we all can create our dream life as soon as we realize like we're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Even if it's,
yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I mean, there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but I think too, like, yeah, it's your kids have like this really privileged, awesome life, but like you're a good parent and you're also like not creating this version of the world for them where there is no conflict and there are no problems probably. Like that doesn't, just because they're growing up with these privileges doesn't mean that they're not going to be cognizant of those things existing in the world.
Right.
Which is to say, that's why I think that is ideal to have a parent who's super engaged with you and to have access to all of this information and all of these resources, because then you get to have that perspective without like a bunch of bullshit.
Well, and it'll be the jury.
Without being in a bubble.
Yeah.
And let's see how they turn out, you know, like, let's be honest, like, who knows, like, do they become an AOC? Like, is this how, like, you breed a Ruth Bader Ginsburg? I don't know. Like, what are we doing? Or am I making, you know?
Well, every parent fucks up their kids somehow. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's the thing.
You're not
like,
doing it perfectly.
No one isn't fucked up. No one isn't. It doesn't, like, it's totally impossible. And God forbid, you might, what if one of your kids becomes a Republican? I think about that all the time.
I have a joke about that I am so liberal that the only way that my child will be able to rebel is to become, like, a born again Christian. Oh,
but, like, that could happen.
Yeah. For real. I know. Yeah.
I know. I was thinking about like, what if I had like a jock? I don't know what I would do. I guess I'd make him hang out with Tess. Tess is a jock.
I'll take your jock. Your jock can come over to my house.
Okay, we have to take another break. We'll be back with Lady Problems, everybody.
BRB.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Nicole.
And we're going to do lady problems. If you have a lady problem, or if you want to, by the way, we are celebrating 10 years this year. If you want to let us know how you feel about the show, whatever, anything you want to say, give us a call, 323-6-BUT-30. And let's hear our theme song.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Our first lady problem is an email form. So here we go. Hi, ladies. A little background. I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years. We got together when he was 24 and I was 27. He is/was a typical SoCal party boy, but he was a fantastic, loyal, loving, and caring boyfriend. And I knew I wanted to get married by the time I was, and he knew I wanted to get married by the time I was 30 and have a baby. He wanted to stop partying and settle down when he turned 27, so that solved that. It worked great, but 27 and 30 came and went with no sign of slowing down and no ring. The pandemic really put into focus that I want to settle down, so we decided to do a nomad year before we settle down. It's been difficult because all he wants to do is stay up all night partying, and he gets cranky and disinterested if I want to do anything not involving alcohol. To make things worse, the week before our current trip, he was drunk and high on cocaine and ketamine and foiled his plans of proposing, something I had been dreaming of the entire time we were together. He stayed out drinking last night till 6:30 a.m., no contact because his phone died. This after we had an argument the day before about him staying out till 4:30 a.m. drinking. I may be a stick in the mud, but this was the last straw for me. We broke up this morning. He said he's come to terms with the fact that he's an alcoholic and doesn't want to stop partying and doesn't ever want to have a kid, and it isn't fair to keep doing this to me. It hurts to see him make that decision, but I can't change who he is or force him to do something he doesn't want to do. He's currently staying at a hostel while I figure out what to do. So here's my lady problem. We paid for this trip together, and I can't really afford to stay here alone. I'm shy, low energy, and have a hard time making friends. I don't speak the language or know anyone other than my ex. Friends are coming to meet me for part of the trip late next month. Should I go home and call off the entire trip? I really miss my dog, so this is very appealing. Should I stick it out, maybe see if my cousin who lives in Europe will let me crash while I wait for my friends to get here? My ex said I'm still the love of his life and he wants to see me. This is just a trial separation. I think that's bullshit and he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He's still an amazing person who I love, although this isn't painting him that way. Should I still see him and or stick out the trip together or should I go no contact? There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yay.
Feels obvious to me.
What do you think, Nicole?
I mean, I'm not a therapist.
Yeah.
But this shit seems real thick and obvious.
Yeah.
He's not your person. It's just not working. Like you staying on the trip, by the way, is a whole other conversation. Do you want to be on a trip? Do you want to be
right.
on you don't need, you should not be, I'm sorry. This guy is not for you. You are not on the same page. Mm-hmm. And it is not, he's not going to change. You just gave him 5 fucking years. He said he was going to do something. He didn't do it. It's not in him. And that's okay. He's not an asshole or a loser. If that's what he wants to do, he needs to find the person that likes those things about him, that he does that. Those people, I'm not judging his actions. They're not what I would want to do. She sounds like me. I want to hang out with her. She should find a person who she doesn't have to negotiate or rope in, or they should just both be on the same page. That's why relationships work. There shouldn't be that. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
1,000%. That's
100% right.
The right answer.
It's clear. I mean, he boffed the engagement because he got too fucked up on coke and ketamine.
Oh. Yeah. What?
No, I mean, she knows. Her instincts are all correct here. She said it multiple times.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. They shouldn't be together. You should cut off contact with him.
Yes.
You shouldn't talk to him anymore. He's going to try to rope you back in.
Yeah.
He's gotta go. It's good that he has realized that he has a drinking problem. It doesn't sound like there's an end in sight for that soon because he said, I just want to keep getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. But alcoholics do love to try to rope you back in, you know? So I would definitely just cut it off. For support, you know, immediately I would look into Al-Anon, like Reddit. Al-Anon on Reddit is very helpful. There's so many people in similar situations. You can kind of read what they're going through. You can post yourself for support. Mm-hmm. Al-Anon is for people who have loved ones who are addicts or alcoholics in their life. Yeah, I think that's clear. I mean, the trip is, the other question. It's like,
okay, the trip.
What do we say there?
Like, my first instinct with basically almost anyone is like, no, fucking stay in Europe. Like, dude, figure it out. Sleep in a train station. Like, I don't know. Like,
but that's what's fun for you, Tess.
But that's what's fun for me. I know that. But that's why, like, 99% of people, I'd be like, dude, YOLO. Like, how often are you in Europe? Fucking figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it really doesn't seem like she's enjoying herself or is going to get much out of this trip.
Yeah.
Like, unless. But I'm also like, I don't know. But there is the part of me that's like, when in, she probably next relationship.
Literally when in Rome.
Literally when in fucking Rome. Literally. Yeah. Like, when else are you going to have this opportunity? Like, you've already carved out work. You're not at a job right now. You don't. Yeah, you sounds like you missed your dog, but you have someone watching the dog. Like, you don't have kids right now.
You have friends coming in a couple.
Yeah.
If you're close with this cousin and you could stay with them, I mean, it might.
I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
If you can hang, but then, and it comes down to, did you want to do this nomad year? Was that what you were doing for the relationship, or was there a part of that was exciting for you? So go back into what was the you and your desire, and separate from with him, and then decide if that was something you wanted to do, and then hang 2 weeks by yourself, do some self-discovery, wait till you get to see your friends if you can hang in. But if you're like, I never fucking wanted to do this anyway, this was all for him, fuck it, I'm going back with my goddamn dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think like I would give it a few, you know, give it to the end of the week, whatever point you're at right now, just hang in and be like, you're obviously going through an extremely emotional time, and like every day you wake up, you're going to feel a little bit better, especially because, like we said, you know, in your gut that this is not the right fit and that he's not the person for you. So like, maybe in a few days you're actually going to wake up and be like, you know what? I am happy to be here. I'm going to take this trip. Mm-hmm. But you might also feel different. Yeah. You might feel the opposite and be like, fuck it. I want to see my dog. So
and both are fine.
I think both are good options. You know, it's like you're going to have comfort in either of those, or something good is going to happen from either of those paths, you know, as long as you do make that choice to just like separate from him and let that be.
Yeah. And then you get a good therapist and you Zoom with them every week, and you get all fucking Lexapro and your life changes.
And I think you're going to find too, like with some separation from him, how much energy you were giving him and how much energy you now like a weight. It might not feel like a weight is off your shoulders, but the amount of weight that you just let go of is you're going to have so much more for yourself.
How many nights have you been worried about this guy when he's coming home? How drunk he's getting, like that.
What happened?
No longer your fucking problem.
It's like, not your problem.
1,000%. Even when I'm in a, you know, that's what relationships are. Mm-hmm. When I'm in a healthy relationship, when I've gotten out in the past, like, I'm like, oh my God, like I was catering to them all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like all of my life was anything I did was also involving them. And I'm in a healthy relationship now and it's good, but it's still like you have even no idea. And especially when you're with, you know, an addict, like that is just another level of you totally, you know, being like their support system. And so, I think that's so true. Like you probably are going to find that like you actually have more energy than you knew because you're not just like feeding it into him all the time.
Yeah. Definitely look at Al-Anon, look at Coda. I mean, and also it is helpful to him for you guys to be broken up to. Like if that's his what happens to him is not your concern, but if this is helpful, like you've been a port in a storm for him, and that storm needs to just run its fucking course, however it's going to run, and he can't just sit at the fucking port because that's just not going to do it. You know, you are a safe place, and he is just going to eat away at that, and he needs to just be in the wind until he figures out what he's going to do, because you've been keeping him from that, you know, by keeping him safe.
I feel like another argument for staying in Europe for a few weeks is like you kind of are in this cool position where like you don't have to go through the initial few weeks of a breakup are so gnarly, like especially if you've been living with this person, like in the space, like, oh, we used to share this place and this is all of our shit that we're sitting around and all that. Like, you're kind of being spared that phase of it, but it sucks this happened on a trip, but like you're in a totally different place while your life is changing. So I feel like you almost have this opportunity to like work through it there and then come home with like a little bit of distance from the situation.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, to leave it there. Also, you say earlier that like he would get cranky and disinterested if you wanted to do anything that didn't involve alcohol. What are those things?
Yeah, what is...
What are those things that you do want to do there? And you get to do those.
I wonder, do you guys feel like... This is an interesting, like, again, throwing out a question to the group.
Yeah.
Do we feel like in the same way when you meet up with a partner that you're going to maybe be dating, romantic, committed to, do you think that like it's one of those same topics where you're like, we need to be on the same political like vibe? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying same, but you know what I mean? Like a compatibility on like theories of religion, theories of politics. I wonder if maybe we need to fold in like consumption of drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. Where do we both feel that we like to use or not use, or how do we even look at drugs and alcohol as, you know, what's our philosophical, moral and ethical compatibility? Do you think that would be an interesting conversation in making a relationship?
I think so. I mean, I think it can be hard to know because people have different ideas of what their normal consumption might be, you know? Mm-hmm. And like my boyfriend, I'm taking a year off of drinking, but I, in general, before, you know, drank a lot. But my boyfriend is not a drinker at all. And I don't know that the conversation would have helped us that much because like I would have dated him even if he was a heavy drinker or if he is like he is. Mm-hmm. And maybe I would have eventually been like, oh, I'm not into that if he was one. But I don't know if talking about it for me would have helped because I would have had to just experience like.
Or maybe the question is, what's your biases or your feelings? Yeah. Your stigmas. What are your stigmas? Like maybe you act out in one or the other, but I judge drinkers like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I definitely wouldn't want somebody who's disappearing because their phone fucking died.
Right.
No on that.
No, it, totally. I mean, I think it's probably similar to like political stuff because it's like, yeah, we don't have to have the exact same views, but like if that is like totally abhorrent to one person, then that's going to be like a pretty big barrier. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could be with someone who did a lot of coke, like, because coke just grosses me out, and I'm annoyed by people who are on coke. So I think in a partner, that,
like,
that would be eliminating a person, you know, like, that's the problem is, you know, like, she wanted this perfect dream proposal that he was going to do, and then he blew it, like, literally. And by the way, if he knew that he was blowing that for her, that was his way of breaking up with her. Like, by the way, like actions speak louder than words. He took the most important thing to her and shit all over it.
And it's like, and this is one of those fucking shitty, it's a shitty thing to experience and a shitty like lesson to learn, but it's also valuable that like, things you plan, it doesn't, you know, life cannot be planned. You cannot say at this many years old, this is going to happen. Like, yes, it's just not how it goes. That's so true. Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, I think, for women who want to have biological kids, though, because there is that.
1,000% There is that very real deadline.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, but it's funny. I do have one friend who has pulled that off. Like, we've been friends since we were like 14. She's like, when I'm 20, I'm doing this. When I'm 25, I'm doing this.
Some people can pull
But like
off.
In general, it doesn't work out that way. So, and you know, you're 30, you're still very young. Yes. You have plenty of time to meet someone and have kids still. I don't, you know, please don't feel like you're at the end of your
rope. But yeah, I mean,
get it. It adds a different kind of pressure.
But like back to the drug thing, like I say, this is someone who loves drugs. Like you don't do them before you're going to propose to someone.
God, no. No. There are moments to, like, you know, have
I give
fun.
You one shot to like, cool your nerves, and that's it. That's all you get.
There are moments to be present for, and that is definitely one. Yeah. Yeah.
That is, yeah, just, I mean, well, she knows. She knows all of it.
Yeah.
Godspeed. You've
like,
got this.
There's so much fun shit to do in Europe. I hope you just have fun. Like, there is so much, there's all, so many trains to take, all the places you'll go. You know, there's just find the hammock. I remember, like, when I was in Europe when I was, like, 21, one of my favorite nights of sleep ever, I paid €5 to sleep in a hammock on the beach. And it was, like, one of the best nights of sleep of my life. Like, I don't know. Find shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Paris, like, by myself a few years ago, I had an amazing time. I just, like, look up a cheap... I know you said you're trying to not spend a lot of money, but there's a lot of cheap shit for tourists. I did, like, a bike ride that was literally one of the best things I've ever done in my life. Try to just do one or two of those things. Go by yourself. Go to one of these tours. You know what I mean? Experience where you are. And, like, you're going to see, just like we said, like, oh, my God, I don't have to carry the weight of this fucking dude all day. I can just enjoy the scenery without worrying about what this guy is going to do.
Mm-hmm. Get in the driver's seat of your life, girlfriend. This is the beginning of something fabulous.
Beep, beep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But make sure to not, if you're actually driving there, make sure to be on the right side of the road because, you know.
Great work, everyone.
Yay, we did it. Solved another problem. Solved.
Yes.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Wait, but I want her to now let us know how it goes. Like, when do we get...
I know. We always ask. Sometimes people follow up. Sometimes they don't. So, yes, please.
I need to know how this turns... I need a
same
two segment of her. She sounds amazing. And now I'm invested.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I am too. Yeah. Please follow up with us and let us know, you know, where your path took you.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, but yes, back to us. Thank you.
Nicole, where can everybody find your comedy? Where can they find information about The Crow? Tell us everything.
Goodness. So I am Nicole Blaine. On Instagram, I'm Nick Blaine, N-I-C Blaine, but B-L-A-I-N-E. You have to come to my club in Santa Monica, The Crow. On Instagram, it's Crow Comedy. On Facebook, do people still use it? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Crow Comedy Club, The Crow. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Whatever. I'm there. But we have a great website that has our calendar of shows, and I am programming for having high-level comedy shows for teens, open mics for teens. And then what else? I'm teaching little kids comedy and adults. So if there's anyone who wants to start stand up and have a safe space to do all that, we're teaching. And then my husband is doing like professional level acting classes for
young
kids. And so it's nice to have something like that on the West Side for like the kids who actually want to do like film and television and stuff and all that.
For sure. And this comedy show is 7 nights a week, or what's
almost we're getting there. I mean, the calendar is populating organically. So most nights. And there's open mics on Tuesdays. There's a female and non-binary open mic at 6:00 on Tuesdays. And there's going to be education programming. So helping others, you know, help with their career and getting industry panels and all that. I don't know. Just come by. We're in Santa Monica. Come to the
Santa Monica. Huge. It's an, like I said, really cool, like artist colony. There's a huge parking lot. It's also right off the subway. What do you call it? What do we have?
The metro.
Right. It's on the metro stop.
Bergamot.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's at Bergamot Station.
I'm at Bergamot Station.
Oh,
it's so cool. So yeah, you can take the metro right to Bergamot Station and just walk off into my club. Oh. There is a, like Beth said, there's a parking lot of 200 200 spaces. That's totally free. It's gated. I have a security guard.
Oh, that's so amazing. Parking on the West Side, I mean, that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah. It's free. There's security. I have this
fancy. That's why I said it. I was like, when you were like, there's a huge parking lot, I was like, oh my God, this is a miracle.
Well, that's why I'm like, for comics, I'm like, you can rush in, you can rush out. I will feed you. I will pay you. I will give you a beautiful space. So, I don't know. I just want you guys to come.
Yeah, I'll be there shortly. I'll be there. I can't wait. Tell me when.
Absolutely. Just tell me when I'll be there. Yeah. Support indie venues, everybody, especially when it's like, doing it everything right. You're doing all the things right.
Female run independent venue. Couldn't get any better than that. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is great.
I'm honored. You know I'm a big fan of your guys's. So
so good to see you, Nicole.
Good to see you guys.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye,
y'all.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies, I'm just calling in after listening to the Chronic Crier because I, too, am a chronic crier. And the only thing that really helped me was to accept the crying. So now if I find myself bursting into tears or my eyes leaking, I'll just laugh and say, oh, I'm a chronic crier. Sometimes I get weepy. Let's just move on with our day and pretend this isn't happening. And I'll continue multitasking just like the caller did. So I shine a light on it. Because the more I try to stop the crying or the more ashamed or embarrassed I feel about it, the more conflict I feel internally, and then the more I cry. And I think you'd be surprised the more I tell people, oh, I'm a chronic crier. This will stop. Let's just keep going. Other people will say, oh, me too. That happens to me all the time. So I think this is a common problem. And if you've ruled out some kind of medical or like chronic anxiety condition or something, just leaning into it and not fighting it is the best way to handle it. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, ladies. I just want to thank you for the Milk Daddy beef. It's really all I got. Thank you so much. God bless. The tea was spilled. I'm drowning in the tea. Thank you. All right. You have a great day, all you. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.